up your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn over with me to Psalm 3, 1 through 8. We'll also be touching on Psalm 7, verse 10, Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8, and Hebrews 12 and 2. I want to speak to you today from a message that the Lord placed in my heart this week. And coming back from vacation, you know, it's something that you seek deeply to be able to bring back a word with you to the people that you love so deeply. When the Lord spoke this into my heart, I was so pleased because it's such an encouraging message. The title of the message is Lift It Up. Lift It Up. You see, in Psalm 1, it takes you through some real important steps. First of all, it tells you who in this journey that we go through this earth, who we should not walk with, who we should not stand with, and who we should not sit with. In other words, who we should not take advice from to live in this earth. The best place that you can receive advice is from the Word of God. I challenge everybody that if you ever hear a speaker teach, orate, preach, you should always test the Word. Always get back into the Bible and make sure that what was spoken matches up to the Word of God. Very important. And when you read Psalm 1, you'll see how important it is that if you don't take advice from a sinner, someone who just displaces God totally, that God will bless you because your heart is in the Word of God, and you are simply going to be like a tree that's planted by the river's edge, and that you will bear fruit in season, and the leaves of that tree will not wither. And when it comes down for the time of blessing and judgment, you will be there to receive the blessing. Very unique way to start off the book of Psalms. And if you continue then, you'll read into Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Because Psalm 1 tells you how you can prosper and how you can have success. Now, we're not talking about driving some beautiful car and having some successful business that, you know, everything is great. We're talking about spiritual prosperity and prospering in that and also having success in your walk with God. Very important that you understand that when you're receiving things from the Lord, that is so important that you grab a hold of what is eternal, not temporal. You know, it's so important in that, because we get all caught up here on earth to grab a hold of the temporal, and we forget what's eternal. It's like the king that died over in Asia. He was a great king, and he had a great country that he was the king over, very wealthy, and he had so much that it was overflowing. But when he died, he had a casket formed for him, and the casket had his hands on the top of the casket like this, pointing up towards heaven, but they were empty. And his law stated that he, when he died, should be carried through every city of the country, through every street, that all the people that he ruled for all those years would see, that even though he had all the wealth that he could ever contain to the overflow, he could take none of it with him. His hands were empty. So sometimes I think if we realize that it's the importance of spiritual success and prospering spiritually, you'll find that you'll be much more comfortable in your walk with God. Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8 says this, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Salah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried out aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Salah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings beyond your people. Salah. How marvelous that psalm is. To realize that what with strength that we receive from God and the protection that we receive from the Lord, even when we sleep. It takes us on a journey about what we should be doing in times of despair and heartache. And they come. Without warning, oftentimes. Despair and heartache can grip you. Times when poverty strikes without warning. People saw great wealth in 2006 and 2007, but then all of a sudden, poverty began to take havoc on lives. People lost their jobs, their homes, their families. There was divorce. It was like the Great Depression. Very, very strong in emotion in people's lives. Sickness enters in through the cracks without warning. People all of a sudden are diagnosed with sicknesses and diseases that are harsh to have. Almost sometimes, if not oftentimes, the end result of the sickness is an early death. When we find these things, and then when news comes, that's like an enemy, and that enemy owns the whole armory of weaponry. Have you ever had news come at you like that, where you just sat down and you did not know what to do next? It is as though everything hits you at once. You know, we find ourselves on some sort of a journey. But when we read Psalm 7 and verse 10, very clearly it says, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. How marvelous it is to know that God is our shield. And the upright in heart are saved by the Lord. There's no other salvation under heaven less by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. No other salvation. It reminds us of the promise that God gives to his children and his chosen. The repentant heart, the sorrowful in soul, and those that have offended the holy God have repented, have asked for forgiveness of their sin. And God has released to them the love and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that through that blood they are saved. They are saved by grace through faith and not by their own works, but it is a gift from God. Those that believe in him, Jesus Christ, will not perish but have eternal life. That life which is an abundant life. We have so much life when we walk with Jesus Christ. So much life. It's as abundant. It's all over us. It's around us. You know, sometimes when you go visit people that don't know the Lord and you have life, they think you're strange. Because you have so much life, so much joy, so much happiness. And you care so much for people that are struggling and going through difficult times. You want to help them. You can't help but help them because the Lord in you presses you to help them. In Psalm 121 and verses 1 through 8, and I'm just giving a small introduction here today before I preach. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from? And that's a question. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, or who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. What a song. Matter of fact, that and Psalm 91 are my two favorite songs of the whole book of Psalms. Marvelous promises there. That God's always there. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. You're not going to get sunburned. You're not going to get moonburned. You're not going to stub your toe. And he's going to be there for you all the time. And no evil will befall you. And when you're coming in, you're going to be blessed. And when you're going out, you're going to be blessed. Wow. That's a wow moment for me. I don't have OMG moments. I have wow moments with God. Because I think it's important that we understand who God is in our life. This Bible that I'm reading from, this literally tells us the importance of our relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and knowing that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. He leads us and strengthens us and helps us every day. And when you walk out, you're blessed. When you come in, you're blessed. And it's a beautiful relationship that we have with God. This is a road sign on our journey through life, which in 8 short verses details what he, the Lord, is doing all the time, not just Monday through Friday, not 4 days a week and he's off 3, not on 3, off 4. He doesn't have the swing shift. He doesn't have mid shift. He's not an opener. He's not a closer. He's all the time, praise God. He's there for us every day, of every moment, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every generation. He's there for us eternally. Praise God. Somebody needs to smile this morning. Amen. Somebody needs to get a little smile on their face. It's Father's Day. I know that it's a wonderful day, and I know you're waiting for that wonderful food over here. But I'm going to tell you, this food I'm giving you will help you to understand what God wants to do for your life. He wants to know the journey you're on. Those times when you are depressed and discouraged, has that ever been there? Have you ever been all of a sudden depressed and discouraged? And most people, what they do is when they're depressed and discouraged, they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them pills so you won't be depressed or discouraged. So then you're on pills for the rest of your life, hiding, cloaking over why you were depressed and discouraged. Someone say amen, please. Amen. Don't shake your head at me like you think I'm wrong. I know I'm right. That all you want to do is sleep and escape. That's what depression will make people do, and that's what discouragement will make them do. They want to sleep. They want to just escape from everything. They want to find a place. When fear grips you and paralyzes your speech and clouds your face so even prayer does not even cross your lips. Everyone should be praying every day. Everyone should wake up with prayer on their lips and go to bed with the last thing they speak is words to God. But there are times when fear grips you and it clouds you and you're paralyzed and you don't even want to pray. You are just there and you're just staring at a television, staring at a book, not even reading the words, or sitting on a porch someplace and wondering if anybody really does care. It's amazing to me when tears run down your face like a faucet broken and sobs sound like a painful disregard of life. You're just so afraid and so paralyzed and you're just crying and you're sobbing out loudly. It's an amazing area. When deliverance comes, though, when God brings deliverance into your life and God speaks life into your deadness and He raises you up and causes you to know who He is, and you begin to thank Him for all that He has done, you realize that He is a God of life, not the God of death. He is there for you, and He cares, and He wants you not to disregard life, but to embrace life. It's an amazing thing what happens to us when we walk away from God and we begin to try to take the challenges of this world on our own. When we begin to try to be the person that can do it all. I think it's really important, like what my wife said today, you know, we aren't perfect. None of us are, but God is. Yeah. I think it's important if we'll be honest about that, that we all will let each other down. How many times? Who knows? But I'm sure it'll be more than once. But God never lets us down. He lifts us up. Yes. Praise God. He cares for us, and He wants us to realize how important it is. Psalm 121 carves out the riches of His promises and describes who and what He is doing through those and in those harsh and seemingly desolate moments in life. If you would read Psalm 121 every day read it. It takes about 22 seconds to read Psalm 121. If you don't have the ability to read, it takes about 32 seconds for it to be played over the volume or a speaker that allows this Bible to be read audibly. To listen to the Word and to place it into your life and to become alive again. You see, David knew some things that you and I need to be reminded of in our life. David knew some areas of our life that blessed us mightily. David prayed that he would somehow get to the rock that was much higher than he, or the rock that is much higher than the one he was standing on. That rock being Jesus Christ. We should pray, God, take me to that place that I can be there with you in the cleft of the rock like He put Moses in. That when God passes by, at least He would see the glory and the abundant goodness and the abundant kindness of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The God who is so abundant with life and so abundant with blessings. He's exceedingly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Ephesians 3:20. He is there for us. He is consistently working out in us that which He has begun. Philippians 1:6. We can be fully assured that that which we have committed unto Him, He is able to keep until that day. Praise God. We have a God that never lets go of us. We have a problem. We let go of Him. Hallelujah. David realized that his name is like a strong tower and the righteous run to it and find safety. You've got to find some place to go. Run to the name of Jesus Christ. You'll find safety in that name. Do you know when you speak the name of Jesus, every demon will flee. They will run because Jesus is the conqueror. He is the deliverer. He is the source of life. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Comforter. He's the Almighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Yeah. He is the Christ. He is the Rabboni. He is the Master. He is our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's God forevermore. He realized that there is an abiding under a shadow of the Almighty God. He realized that there is a God who is a bulwark that fails not. A shelter from the storm. A pavilion that one could find safety in. It's an amazing thing to me. Preaching this message today, many memories are going through my mind as I'm preaching it. I'm remembering Arlene singing from the pulpit at the Vine Christian Fellowship the song, "He is a shield about me and a lifter of my head." I remember being at a great conference at Hume Lake, and there came out four people, and the bass singer was on crutches, paralyzed from the waist down, dragging his feet. And he sang out to this, "He's a bulwark that faileth not." And I began to think how powerful that has never left me. A bulwark that faileth not. A young teenage girl had a rough upbringing, a terrible life in a terrible neighborhood where her father had to go out with a bat and tell boys to stay away from the house, got up and sang, "He is a shield about me and a lifter of my chin." Hallelujah. A lifter of my head. Somebody say amen. He is God Almighty forevermore. Why such confidence in these prayers and songs? Because they knew who to look unto. I want to tell you today, lift it up, folks. Stop looking down all the time. You know, when the pocket has no more change, stop looking for change in your pocket and look for the source of life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. One of the greatest things Dr. John Nichols told me, who's gone on to be with the Lord, a mentor of mine, literally told me this. He was the one who built Operation Compassion, one of the largest charities in the United States of America and throughout the world. He said, "Dennis, take this from me. Man is not your source. God is." What he was saying to me was, lift it up. Go beyond what men can do and look what God can do. Have faith in what a holy God can do. Lift it up! The bills pile up so high that there's no room for them. Lift it up! God can take care of bills, praise God. God can never forgive me. I've got myself in trouble financially. God forgives everyone. Hallelujah. Read the Bible. He forgives murderers and he forgives people that have done things against his laws. He forgives people that literally talk bad about him. He forgives people that literally slayed many Christians. But how he forgives is that all those people came to him and repented with a sorrowful heart, and God turned to them and saved them and delivered them. A few pills are not going to stop God from helping you. The diagnosis has been given with no hope. Don't ever give up on God. He can heal. He can set people free. He can heal when there's no hope. God is our hope. It's wonderful. One of the people back east, we were there, and all of a sudden she said, "I can't see. I've got tunnel vision. I've got a migraine that's come on. I don't know what that's like." But she said that she gets them, and all she can see is like through a tunnel. Everything else, all peripheral is gone, and her head is just pounding. And somebody said, "Well, here, take a couple of Motrin." And she lied down on the couch. I said, "Can I say something to you?" And she said, "What's that, Dennis?" I said, "I'd like to lay my hand upon your head and pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would be instantaneously healed and that God would be glorified." Well, guess what happened? I prayed for her, and she sat up on the couch. She said, "It's gone." Hallelujah. She said to me, she said, "I don't know if it's the Motrin or if it was God." I said, "Motrin doesn't work that fast. It was God." Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to believe when this diagnosis comes and there's death at the door. We have to believe that God can reconstruct the liver, reconstruct the arms and the blood and the cancer cells can be cast away. He can reconstruct the lungs. He can take nerve endings and fix them. Doctors don't know how to repair a nerve, but God created it. He can repair it. Never give up. Lift it up. Believe it. Lift it up. Kathy's brother is not doing really well right now, but one thing I can tell you, he doesn't have Hep C. He was diagnosed with Hep C. And Hep C will affect your liver, and you will end up dying. His mother, Theda Pagan, came and laid hands on him and prayed for him to be healed of Hep C. He went to the doctor a few months later, and the Hep C was gone. It wasn't in remission. It just didn't disappear. It was gone. He's not doing well right now because he got cancer in his throat from Agent Orange in Vietnam. He's got this going on really bad. Has to talk with a voice box. But he's got a great attitude. You see, he's alive. He's breathing. And he doesn't have Hep C. Praise God, God can heal. Even when the diagnosis from the doctor says, you will not make it, God can heal and you will make it. Right. Praise God. When hope has become hopeless, lift it up. When faith has become fear, lift it up. When love has become hate, lift it up. There's not a Christian that should hate anybody. A friend of mine is going through some hard times, and I texted her. Kathy knows who it is. Thanked her for her kindness, but I left a message at the end. Oh, hope always, have patience, and love always. Amen. We should always love one another. You will know that they are my disciples on how they love one another. Do not let hate in your heart. If hate comes in your heart, it'll just blossom into a thorny bush and destroy your character. So if anybody in the room here today is hating someone because of something that they did, lift it up to the hills whence cometh thy help. Thy help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He can set you free. I don't know if you think I'm preaching or not, but I'll answer the question. I am. Safety has become danger. Lift it up. Put all your safety walls that you have placed and everything you put in place that everything is safe. And all of a sudden danger comes and those safety walls and everything you put in to be safe and perfect that you set up just crumble because of the dangers. Lift it up! Lift up your head unto the Lord, praise God! When dreams have become nightmares, lift it up. When success has become failure, lift it up. When wealth has become poverty, lift it up. When power has become weakness, lift it up. When the valley has no more shadows, in other words, you're so deep into the valley, there's no shadows at all. Lift it up! Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Look at your neighbor and say, lift it up! Light has become darkness. Lift it up. When death comes and the bones are dry, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel, lift it up. Only thou knowest, praise God. Lift it up. If you're sitting in the sanctuary today and you're thinking, I just can't make it, I'm not going to become anything. Lift it up. You're going to become something. You will make it. I don't know how you think that mountain is, but God created a way to the top. Lift it up. They know who to look to. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Amplified Version says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Don't look at your distractions. Look at your healer. Don't look at your distractions. Look at your Savior. Don't look at your distractions. Look at your deliverer. Don't look at your distractions. Look at your creator. Don't look at your distractions. Look at your problem solver. Look at the one over here that'll keep you down. No, look to the one that'll lift you up. Yeah. Come on, church. Am I preaching or what? Suffering to get up and preach with me. Where's my AM corner today? Thank you. Who is the leader and the source of our faith? The source of our faith. You have faith. Everyone has been given a measure of faith. Build up your faith. Trust God. Have hope in Him. Have expectancy. Wake up every day knowing that what your dream is, God is going to pull it through, and you will see your dream come true. Amen. Get your education. That's what you want. I don't know how to do it. God does. When the educators tell you you're no good, you shouldn't be in this class, you're not going to make it, you're a disturbance here, how did you ever get in? You must have had a friend in the school board, but you're driving me crazy. I don't want to have you. I'm going to flirt you. Lift it up! Lift it up! When you're friendless, let me tell you, lift it up, because He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah, praise God. When you're alone, lift it up. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is always there. Hallelujah. Giving the first incentive for our belief. The reason we even believe is because of Jesus. Wasn't your idea. You weren't walking down the road one day and had a great idea and went to church and got saved. You were walking down the road one day and the Holy Spirit revealed to you, you need to get to church and get saved. Amen. God's always watching over us. I saw something on Facebook that I'm sure many of you saw. I'm not going to go through the whole list that was there. But a guy was complaining to God why he was allowing these things to happen to him. And God simply responded to him. He said, well, I let the alarm clock not go off because I was afraid if you got up too early, you were going to get to work, but on the way, you were going to get hit. So I made sure the alarm clock got up late so the accident happened before you got there. Went through a list of things. At the end of the list, the man said, thank you, God, for watching over me. You see, sometimes we think it's got to be our way, not God's way. Let me tell you something. Lift it up. God's way is the eternal way. God's way will get you through. He's also the finisher. He brings everything to maturity and perfection. Perfection is something that we don't understand because we are so imperfect. But He brings our faith to that place, to that ultimate place of perfection in our life because we follow after Him. I love this so much. Habakkuk knew what the answer was to such problems. He would take the action and knew that God would be his ability. You see, every one of us in our life has an action that we need to take, but we're afraid. We're afraid others will see us in the church. If we get too full of faith, people will see us. If we act too righteous, biblically sound righteousness, not self-righteousness, but biblically sound righteousness, people will think they don't want to be around us. If we lift our hands too high during worship, people will think that we like it. If we want to help in the church, people will think you're just trying to get close to the people in the church so they'll like you better. Oh, lift it up! Just lift it up! We have to understand that we have an action in our life, and God is our ability. He gives us the ability to react to what God wants us to do. Listen to what happened. So you all know this, but I can't help myself. I had to put it in as a closing scripture. It's so powerful to me. It has been for years when I first read it. I know that I preached really good today, that none of you went to sleep. I am so thankful. Thank you, Christina. Thank you for clapping. Praise God. Amen. And you sat up straight. Thank you. Praise God. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19 in the Amplified. I'll read it there first. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon the high places of trouble, suffering, and or responsibility. Praise God. In other words, simply saying, when a car's out of gas, you got a note from your wife, she's leaving you, the kids just flunked school, and you got the bill, and there is no food in the cupboard because your wife took it and put it in the trunk just to get you mad, and everything is failing. The water bill came in, and it came in 5 days late because your wife kept it in the back. And all of a sudden, the water's turned off, and you went to take a shower, and you were just there. You had no, yet when I praise Him, hallelujah. Yeah. Oh. Yet when I praise Him. When everything goes wrong, and anything else that goes wrong couldn't go wrong, and it does go wrong, yet when I praise Him. Because He will take me to the heights above my trouble, above my fears, above my doubts, above my hopelessness. He will put change in my pocket. He will be there. He will not forsake me. He will provide for me. He will bless me. And no matter what I'm going through, He'll go through it with me. And even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, He's right there with me. When I come out to the other end, praise God, His rod and His staff, they will comfort me. And when I get out there, the enemy will watch Him and I have lunch together. Praise God. Hallelujah. He'll anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And goodness and mercy shall follow me the rest of my days. Someone shout, lift it up. He is a shield about us. He is the lifter of our head. I'll never forget her saying that. Ever. Ever in my life. That little girl, Arlene Santos. Now Arlene Van Hook. Went to Lee University. Got on the Lee Singers. And God anointed her. Amazing anointed her. Ended up marrying a great young man by the name of Jason. Has a photography company, a ballet company. Amazing what God did with a girl who was in the inner city of Oakland with no hope. How do you know that? Well, my boy was dating her at one time. I got called to come pick him up. Why, you say? Because when he went out to get in the car that I loaned him to go see her, somebody took a knife and slashed all four tires. That's how inner city it was. They were mad because he was there, and they were angry because he was there. They liked her, and they were jealous, so they slashed the tires. So I had to drive that car home with duct tape. And I'm going to tell you, duct tape works. I drove it all the way home from Oakland to San Lorenzo with duct tape on the tires. Praise God. That little girl who lived in a gang area just up from Patton University with a park right next door where they sold heroin. Gangs met. With no hope. Sang a song. He's a shield about me in the lifter of my head. Just where are you today?